Thanks very much, Chris. I'm going to start out with an apology because I'm going to have to go through this material very quickly. As you can see, we've got another tight session and fairly large amount of material to go through, but I think it's doable, and certainly it'll be available in other forms so you can get more details on it. It'll be a lot of data. I do want to recognize and thank my co-rapporteur within MODTF, Ur Siegler, our secretary, Chris Ayers, as well as all the modelers that contributed to the data that I'll be presenting. We had four organizations and a number of member states that contributed to this overall effort. The effort's much larger than the scope I'll talk about today. I'm going to talk specifically, given the nature of the colloquium, I'm going to talk specifically on the GHG or greenhouse gas portion of what we did, but materials also available for the timelines and many of the assumptions I'll talk about with regards to noise and local air quality. So the focus, of course, will be GHG emissions. By way of introduction, I will say, again, a number of modeling organizations, the results you'll see here are a single set of results that were verified with several models, and we present this as a consensus view of Cape MODTF. The primary set of data that we'll present is for what's called the FESG consensus demand forecast. We actually will show a little bit of sensitivities with regards to their lower demand forecast, really to bring home the point that a large amount of the uncertainty when you start looking at GHG emissions in the future is the nature of the assumptions behind the forecast. And then finally, there's a number of supporting documents which really get into more detail than I'll have time to get into today that'll be available publicly through the CAPE website. A bit on background. We talked this morning a little bit about technology assumptions and operational assumptions. Within the structure of CAPE, there are other technical working groups that support the Modeling and Database Task Force. Working Group 1, they provided input assumptions with regards to noise technology. Working Group 3, which you'll see those assumptions today with regards to greenhouse gas emissions. And then also Working Group 2 on operations, looking at the efficiency of this system and the improvements there. As far as timeline goes, the data I'll present will be for 2006 baseline and then forecasted out to 2016, 2026, and 2036. And then for full flight fuel burn, we'll actually be presenting some data that was extrapolated out to 2050. So let me jump right into the results. Just a little bit on the scenarios before I do that. This is for NOx above 3,000 feet, so essentially the greenhouse gas contributor there. The first scenario really allowed us to tie these results back to our previous CAPE modeling exercise, so it's really a baseline. And then we actually get into, and I'm not going to get into all the assumptions that are behind the words here, but suffice to say that the scenarios best represented what the consensus technical groups felt was achievable in terms of a range of technology and operational assumptions. So we've got a moderate case or a moderate scenario, and then we have an advanced scenario, both in terms of technology and operations. Hopefully that shows up fairly well on the screen. And just to orient you, we've got total emissions burden on the y-axis. We've got the timeline on the x-axis. Again, 2006 baseline, 2016, 2026, and 2036. The baseline case, or the 2006 case in terms of NOx, is about 2.5 million metric tons. And if you look at the most optimistic case in terms of technology and operational improvements, we look at a growth factor of about 1.5 in 2036. And if you look at the least optimistic case, which is scenario one, it's a growth factor of about 3. But one of the things I did want to point out here, and you'll see this in all of our graphics, we actually purposely did not connect the lines for scenario one. And scenario one is consistent throughout because we really feel that's not really a realistic scenario, but a good scenario to provide a baselining back to the last round of modeling. So we feel that reality lies somewhere between scenario two and scenario three. I mentioned a little bit about the sensitivity of the forecast. That's what this graphic is meant to show. So the light blue that you see there represents the range of scenarios you saw in the previous slide. Exact same data, just shown up as a range. And then the darker blue represents the range in scenarios for the low demand sensitivity case. So again, the forecasting group within ICAO CAPE actually came up with three forecasts, a low, a consensus, and a high. We modeled the consensus and the low, primarily driven by the economic downturn, thinking that reality was probably something somewhere between low and consensus. But you can see here that the range of uncertainty in the forecast is a major driver to the actual scenario analysis. Moving on to the full flight fuel burn, we've got a wider range of scenarios here. We still have the grounding scenario one, which is the CAPE 7 baseline. And then we have two additional scenarios beyond what we showed in NOx. We've got a low aircraft technology and operational improvement, and then we have a stretch or an optimistic case. So we've got a wider range in results. The other caveat before I move to the graphic that I want to reemphasize is you'll see a larger growth here relative to NOx, and the primary driver there is take a look at the x-axis. We actually go out to 2050 here. So if you look at this in terms of multipliers, in the most conservative case, we go from about 200 million metric tons, again, total global commercial aviation fuel burn. We're looking at a multiplier of about 3 by 2050, whereas back in 2036, it's a multiplier of about 2. Again, reemphasizing the same point I touched upon in NOx, it's absolutely critical to understand the role of the uncertainty in the forecast. And it's the same graphic I showed for NOx. The light blue is exactly what I just displayed in the previous graphic. And the dark blue is run for the low demand case. And now you can see the overlap region is virtually nil. So in essence, the uncertainty associated with the forecast is actually larger than the uncertainty associated with technology and the uncertainty associated with operational improvements, and about equal to the two of them combined. So very, very important message looking forward. No fuel burn, global fuel burn presentation would be complete without the pretty picture. That's what this is. This is 2006 fuel burn broken out into grid cells. I'm sure most of the audience has seen graphics like this before, but it gives you a sense for where the hot spots are. This particular graphic is for great circle routing. We actually have radar-based information behind this too, but for the purpose of applying the operational improvements, it's easier to work off of the great circle routing. The mandate, of course, for ICAO is international aviation, so we thought it was important to really understand the contribution breakout, if you will, between international and domestic. And the general rule of thumb is 60-40. It varies quite a bit by region. You look at North America, for example, there's a much higher percentage of domestic operations relative to this breakout, but 60-40 from a global basis is a pretty good rule of thumb. So the previous graphics really looked at total burden, whether it be NOx, whether it be fuel. What this graphic does, it looks at things in a slightly different way. It really looks at the efficiency of the system. And in this case, I won't get into the details of the metric. There's been a lot of material published on this commercial aviation system fuel efficiency metric, but it's basically, it takes into account the payload moved per unit distance for a certain amount of fuel. So really the key here is not to look at something simple like a miles per gallon type thing, but actually take into account the energy that was actually taken into account by the operation. So as you move to the out years, you see a decreasing fuel efficiency, and that's a good thing. That means the system is actually getting more efficient the way we've defined this metric. You look at the inverse. We spent a long time, do we want to use it this way or do we want to show the inverse? But the bottom line for this particular story, the way the CASV is defined, a decreasing CASV value is a good thing. It's an improving system fuel efficiency. We have the same five scenarios that we showed total fuel burn for. What I did want to point out, and I suspect it probably doesn't show up too well, let's see if I can point to it, but there is a dashed line on the graphic, and that was referred to this morning by the UNEP executive director. That is actually the 2% aspirational goal that GIAC has set for the system. And you can see even in our most aggressive case, even though we tell a good story in terms of improving fuel efficiency, there's still quite a gap between the most aggressive case and what GIAC is recommending in terms of fuel efficiency. We heard a little bit about this morning. I think it's important when you look at aviation greenhouse gas emissions to really understand where they fit into the broader perspective. This is actually a representation of IEA and UNFCCC data. We actually averaged the two data sets together for 2006. And you can see the aviation contribution is about 12% on average. I think that's a number that we heard fairly consistently this morning. Oops. In summary, I just wanted to close with, we showed everything in the aggregate from a global perspective. What we really have is we have flight level information for the entire globe, about 31 million flights. Very rich noise emissions and fuel burn database exists in terms of post-processing on this information, and we preserve it literally down to the flight level, right up to the global level, as you saw here. So it allows for influence to policy levels at virtually all levels, from state level right up to ICAO. The aircraft technology and operational improvements can certainly go a long way towards achieving things like carbon neutral growth, but there's still a gap there. And you know, what are some of the other levers we can look at? We heard about alternative fuels this morning. We'll hear more later in the week. And certainly market-based measures is an option. But there's a gap there, even with the most aggressive technology and operational scenarios, at least the ones we looked at. The lack of uncertainty in the forecast, I hope that's a takeaway. And certainly, given the timing of this analysis, syncing up with the global economic downturn, it made it even more of a challenge. But that uncertainty is a substantial contributor to the uncertainty in the results. And I think finally, just that last point, that in the broad context of the transportation system, aviation accounts for about 12% of total CO2 equivalent emissions.